Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Chipotle Mexican Grill is teaming up with e.l.f. Beauty on a limited edition makeup collection. It'll be available online starting later this week. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Radio.
Chipotle makeup. What would you like? Green guacamole lipstick or something?
No guac.
I don't know.
No guac.
No guac. Scooter Reese, producer extraordinaire, trending coming up. All-star game next year in our town. Exciting.
Yes, it is. And the logo video was sent to us.
We'll get to that coming up.
Incredible.
Where's the COVID? Spring breakers are hitting the beach.
There is no COVID, according to them.
Don't worry. The checks are coming. Biden's ready to send them.
In March.
Trending on the way. International Women's Day, top 10 richest musicians in the world, three are women. Taylor Swift, third on the list as far as the riches go. Rihanna's number 7. Madonna at 5, by the way. International Women's Day, little music.
Where does Queen Bee come in?
Queen Bee ain't on the list right now.
She's not. Whoa.
5:13, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Les, he's got the day off. Rob's got your sports coming up. Couple things trending. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Okay, spring break, they're going to party like what? It's $20.99
down in Florida. Here we go.
Woo! It's spring break during the pandemic. These party-hardy spring breakers are packing bars and beaches in South Florida, regardless of the risk or the warnings. There's hardly a mask in sight.
Don't you love all the reporters on these stories? It's like they're jealous. They don't have a mask on. They don't have a mask on. I wish I was able to party, but I can't. I got to be undercover in this story.
They can't drink.
They don't have a mask. Look at them drinking over there, too. Look, they're going to party. It's the way it is. It's spring break. They're tired of COVID like everybody else.
They said this is, gives them a sense of normality.
Normality.
Yes,
right.
Back to normal.
The public health director issued this plea.
See, now I get the health director pleading.
Right. I mean, now the doctor's coming up. He's telling them, look, kids, you don't know what you're doing.
Please postpone travel.
Please.
We spoke with infectious disease
here
expert Dr. William Shepner.
Here we go.
This is an environment, this spring break environment, that could rapidly spread the virus.
Right.
And reintroduce it to many college campuses across the country.
You think they care?
No. They don't.
So there you go.
They don't.
See that story. Now, we also have the NBA All-Star Game played last night is going to be here next year.
Yes.
And we've got a great video from the Cavs. Jim Chone's voice in this.
Yes, right? He narrates it.
This is pretty cool. You got to check this out when you get some time.
In 81, at the Coliseum.
Great video, the history and all.
With Irving.
Pretty strong.
Oh, and the logos, Bill, look awesome.
Year from now. Where will we be with COVID a year from now? Let's hope.
Very little.
Let's hope it's not even a discussion.
It probably won't be.
Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Check out the videos and the stories. Good stuff, Scotty.
You're very welcome, Bill.
5:15, International Women's Day. Topics, guests throughout the morning, including some things on money. Ashley Costello at NCA Financial Planners. On a couple tips when it comes to estate planning. We'll get to that in about 5 on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Sports, Mike's got the morning off. Rob Rozicki in from the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk.
Well, Bill, happy International Women's Day, but the Tribe did not have a good weekend at all. And I'm not talking about dropping both of their contests over the weekend.
So we sent them home and we self-reported to the league what they did. And then turned it over to the league, and we're following. Now we're waiting for the league to tell us what we can do and when we can do it.
Yeah, maybe they were down partying at spring break, but Terry Francona announced that the team has sent home Jose Ramirez and Framil Reyes after violating the MLB COVID protocol. When Reyes got a haircut after Friday's game, and then Ramirez, well, he joined him for dinner later that night. Both are violations of the protocol. The team and the players, they're going to be awaiting negative test results and word from the league to see what steps are moving forward. The Tribe is in action tonight in Grapefruit League action, taking on the Mariners at 3:05. And the Greek Freak, he was perfect last night in Atlanta.
Here's Dodgers going to try it again. The lob this time, Giannis catches it. Tatum gets out of his way. And Giannis throws it home.
I think he pushed him up in the air even further, too.
Giannis Antetokounmpo took on, and Team LeBron, they took out Team Durant in last night's NBA All-Star Game 170-150. The Bucks star went 16-for-16 from the field with 35 points and 7 boards in an MVP performance. He shattered the previous record for makes without a miss in an All-Star Game, breaking Hal Greer's mark of 8-of-8 in 1968. Also last night, Steph Curry won the 3-point contest, yay, and Domantas Sabonis, he won the skills challenge, and Anthony Simmons, he was a dunk contest winner. Cleveland State, they take on the 8th-seeded Milwaukee Panthers tonight in the semifinals of the Horizon League basketball tournament. Coach Kevin, Coach Dennis Gates knows that no matter how that ball bounces, the number 1-seeded Vikings have a tough road to the finals.
We face a unbelievable Milwaukee team who has great momentum, and on the other side of the bracket, we have Northern Kentucky, the defending champion, going against Oakland. And there's 4 teams right there that will give you unbelievable semifinal games for this Horizon League play.
Tip-off tonight at 6:30. 6-time NBA All-Star Blake Griffin has agreed to join the Brooklyn Nets for the rest of the season. Griffin cleared waivers last night after being bought out by the Pistons earlier last week. And Ohio State forward E.J. Liddell, he was named to as one of the 15 finalists to the Wooden Award, given to the best college basketball player in the country. In for Mike Snyder, I am Rob Ruzicki, WTAM Sport.
5:22, bringing Rory O'Neill, Governor Cuomo, New York. Looks like even the head of the Senate in that state now says it's time for him to step aside, huh?
Yeah, the latest call for his resignation coming from Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins. This came after 2 more women stepped forward to make allegations that the governor acted inappropriately. Anna Liss, telling the Wall Street Journal, she worked as a policy aide for the governor. He would call her sweetheart. He kissed her hand, asked her some personal questions, and if she had a boyfriend. Now, the other allegation comes from Karen Hinton, a former press aide to the governor, way back when he was the housing secretary under President Clinton 20 years ago. She cites an uncomfortable hotel room interactions as they hugged a little too long. He says it's not true and said the two had been actually longtime political adversaries. All this while we wait for the attorney general to complete her investigation into exactly what was going on.
I guess until that investigation's over, I mean, there's no, you know, official charges, nothing like that that have been made yet. Simply women saying, look, this is what happened.
Right, and it's the Attorney General, Letitia James, who can appoint this outside independent law firm with subpoena power to go through all this. The governor held a conference call with reporters yesterday, repeating he will not resign because of this. He says, wait until Letitia James, the AG, has her report out. Then my name will be cleared, and we can move forward. He says he's got a budget to complete in the next 3 weeks, and he has to get 15 million people vaccinated.
Rory, short-term dark clouds politically, and you kind of wonder long-term how he holds on, too.
Certainly, he was on the short list of anyone thinking to replace Joe Biden 4 or 8 years from now. So you do have to wonder, you know, what this is going to do to his long-term political career if he does survive, you know, this string of allegations.
Our Rory O'Neill on Governor Cuomo this morning. Thanks, Rory.
Sure.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Your money and planning, estate, family planning, one of the most important topics that you get into when it comes to financial planning, but it's not something we talk about every day, and sadly we overlook it a lot. Ashley Costello sees that. She's a certified financial planner with NCA Financial Planner. She's got a few tips on asking yourself some of these questions, kind of map out what you want when it comes to an estate plan. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
It really is not topic A at dinner, is it?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
But it is an important topic that you have to discuss. You have to have a plan, and you have to know what your loved ones and what you want them when it comes to the future with finances.
Yeah, you really should. You put so much focus into retirement savings and accumulation, you forget how to protect those assets you worked so hard to attain.
So we've got 4 tips, things to think about and ask yourself some questions. Ashley says first, brainstorm.
Yeah, so you want to start the process with brainstorming. So you should have basic documents, power of attorney, wills, medical power of attorney, and then living will if you choose. So you want to think about who those players are going to be. So who are the people that are going to act on your behalf should you need them to? And then you also want to think about backups, too, if you know, those people aren't available at the time.
Yeah, and if you made a plan 25, 30 years ago, it could be some of the people you've named, there are situations that maybe they shouldn't no longer be in the plan either.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if those people are around your same age and something's changed with them or their lifestyle, you want to have backups with different ages.
When you're young and you have kids, it's one of those situations where you want to make sure you've got, you know, parenting set aside. Somebody takes responsibility if, you know, the worst were to happen to for you as a parent, right?
Yes, yeah. And that kind of goes along with your goals and wishes, too.
Exactly, which is point number two you want to talk about.
Right. So are there any special instructions or goals or wishes? Or like you mentioned, you know, if you're a parent and if you need a guardian for your minor children, you know, what do you want to accomplish with your estate plan? Naming beneficiaries on your financial assets will take care of keeping those assets out of probate.
Mm-hmm.
But are you comfortable with those beneficiaries inheriting equally and immediately? You know, for instance, do you want an 18-year-old child inheriting a big sum of money and blowing it potentially, you know, at that
right.
age? So
right.
if you're not comfortable with that, you may want to consider a trust.
And when it comes to a lot of these issues, a professional, someone to bounce these questions off of that can answer a lot of questions, right?
Exactly. So a professional, even though it may be costly, they've worked with a lot of different scenarios. And, you know, meeting with an estate planning attorney to continue brainstorming and then draft those documents. And then as the estate plan becomes more complicated, it is important to have that attorney or even that firm for your family to go to in the time that they need that professional the most.
Good reminder. Now, if you've been listening to this saying, yeah, my wife and I did this years ago. Okay, great, fine, wonderful. But guess what? Things do change, which is your final point here, right?
Yes, they do. There's a couple things certain in life, and that's one of them. Things absolutely change. So it is very, very important that you make sure you revisit your estate planning documents every 3 to 5 years. Legal language change, mm-hmm. HIPAA change. So make sure you view those documents and make sure that you have the list of people that you want on there and your goals and wishes are still accomplishing what you want.
And I'm sure you meet with all sorts of clients, couples and things. I mean, situations happen with, you know, marriage. It's later in life. People have been married 2 or 3 times in the past. I mean, there could be some history you locked yourself into that really could be an issue down the road, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I've seen that a lot, unfortunately.
Good questions to ask yourself this morning. Ashley Costello asking them. She's a certified financial planner over at NCA Financial Planners. Good information. Thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
This is Serena Wills, encouraging you to celebrate International Women's Day. Find a way to celebrate the women who impact your life today. After all, you wouldn't be here if it weren't for a woman.
Put those Georgia stars to shame that.
Good news for President Biden. ABC News Post poll, Washington Post poll, says his approval as far as handling the pandemic is up there this morning. 67% of independents, 98% of Democrats, 35% of Republicans like what he's been doing, about two-thirds when you average it out of the country. And the big stimulus package passed the Senate, bringing Michael Bauer this morning. Okay, so the House Senate version had the minimum wage, Senate basically had to get that out of there, and then they passed it and they're kicking it back to the House?
Yeah, there are some other elements in there as well, but yes, you are correct on that. And look, the when it comes to unemployment, there was a $400 amount that the House wanted to give on a weekly basis. That got cut back again to the $300 in the Senate, so that has been kind of lowered. That's got to be something that's voted on here as well. But at the end of the day, it looks like the House will probably approve this thing pretty easily tomorrow. That's when they're expected to vote on it. Tomorrow will be the vote, and then they can get it to President Biden's desk for signature, which means that people who are awaiting a stimulus check, those who are making $75,000 or less per year, you'll get a $1,400 check for stimulus. That same thing goes for the numbers for a married couple or joint filing at $150,000. But between $75,000 and $80,000 or between the $150,000 and $160,000, that's where things drop off. And by the time you get to $80,000 income or $160,000 for joint filing, you get nothing as far as the stimulus package goes. So that's something that's new here as well. And that's something that looks like it'll leave about 12 million Americans sort of out as far as getting a stimulus check of any kind goes. But it would appear that for those who make it under that realm, you probably will start to get deposits perhaps even the late end of this week here on some level, Bill.
Politically, he held 50 Democrats together in the Senate, and that was doing something first, right?
Yeah, and I would say that Chuck Schumer is the glue that kind of held that all together. I mean, they had a numerous debates, especially one of them in regards to Joe Manchin as he was looking at unemployment and who would get taxed or if there should be taxable income consideration for unemployment. That debate in and of itself kind of lasted almost 10 hours or so, I've heard. And there was a lot of discussion about how long it was going on for that particular portion just to get Joe Manchin in line with the other 49 Democrats to vote along party lines. And you've had basically exactly that, the final vote for this piece of legislation right along party lines, 50-49, with every Republican voting no.
Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
Yes, stay safe, Bill.
Now, if you do the math on this thing, for what it's worth, $1.9 trillion. Technically, there's about 141 million taxpayers in the country, okay? Because every citizen does not pay taxes. So if you do the math on it, it equals $13,475 in additional debt per taxpayer for the $1,400 that'll be sent out in the legislation passed by the Senate, now goes back to the House. I'm just saying, do the math.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
International Women's Day today. A lot of guests throughout the morning on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Coming up in five, Nora Kamali. She's written the book I Am Invincible. Wonderful history when it comes to her and styling and designer work. She also designed the red famous bathing suit of Farrah Fawcett back in the 70s. Now you know who she is, right? Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Her book in five. She'll join me. Singing along to that. I am woman. Guys love singing that. I am woman. You can't beat Helen Reddy.
Five good minutes.
Norma Kamali, the book I Am Invincible. Congratulations on it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to say that I've been able to take my 53 years in business experience and my 75 years of life experience and create a handbook for women that really addresses each of the decades in a woman's life, the transitions and the challenges, and how we get through each decade. I wished I had a handbook. And if you start reading this at 20, you get maximum opportunity and maximum help. There's a point overall in the book that aging with power can be done. And 20-year-olds, I remember when I was 20, my mother said to me, happy birthday, it's all downhill from here. And I thought, oh, my God, I cried. I don't want to get old. But every 20-year-old is thinking that. And the adventures of a 20-year-old into her 30s is really, you know, first time as an adult, first time experiences in relationships, sex, sorry, Dad, and all of the other things that come along with first time adult experiences. And then 30 has its own 40 and then into menopause. And then what happens when you hit 50? Do you reinvent yourself? Hopefully, yes, so that you don't become invisible, but you kind of blossom after 50. So I've taken lots of experience with women and my own and used my stories and a lot of information about healthy lifestyle as a tool for having power as you age. And sleep, diet, exercise are the three pillars of a healthy lifestyle, with sleep being 50% of that pie. And you have to think about sleep from the minute you get up in the morning. How much coffee are you going to drink? Are you going to diffuse the stress with meditation maybe? And really do everything you can, work out, eat a healthy diet. You can use the same budget you're using for food, just eat less food and eat better quality food and exercise every day, walk, find something. And all of that really are simple and easy to do something you can do right away.
It's managing your body every day, really. A couple questions I've got for you. I'm fascinated by the fashion business because it seems to me it can change like that overnight. When did you first develop that passion? Was it a sketch? Was it a drawing? Can you take me there that day, Norma?
Well, you know, I wanted to be a painter, and when I started in fashion, it was Mad Men time, you know, that look, and I just hated it. But my mother, I got a scholarship to FIT. My mother said, get a job. This painting is not going to do it. I ended up getting a job at an airline so I could travel. I worked in the office so I could travel to London. And I went to London round trip for $29 every weekend for 4 years, just when London was starting to blossom. And that's where I realized this is what I really love. This is who I am. And that's when I started bringing clothes back and then making my own designs. And so that was the inspiration for me. And then I learned how to sew. I learned how to make patterns. I realized that would have to be my power, being so young, telling people almost twice my age what to do was not going to be effective unless I knew how to do it myself.
Norma Kamali, the book, I Am Invincible, International Women's Day. Robin Shallow heads up Robin Communications. In her career, when it comes to posts that she's held, she's been Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications for Nutrisystem, South Beach Diet. Also, magazines like Men's Health, Prevention, Runner's World. Part of her job, also her team heading up promotion for the Biggest Loser franchise for a long time. Worked in television communications, Sports Illustrated, Regis, Kathy Lee shows for years, Disney, AOL, Time Warner, CNN, an impressive resume. And now heads up Robin Communications. And she also a mom, 4 kids, and has been able to do it all.
And now, 5 good minutes.
You know, Robin, in all these conversations today, I feel guilty because, you know, I'm a guy and I'm asking women about business and success. And I feel guilty because we still talk about challenges that maybe shouldn't be there in 2021 for a female. You know what I mean?
I do, but I think that the choose the challenge is really hopeful to me. When I looked back over the years at the themes that the UN had selected, you know, I think we've just made so much progress to be at a point where we're talking about making a choice to challenge as opposed to being kind of back on our heels. It's very empowering. And the truth is we've made progress. It's just complicated, right? It's just very complicated. And all of the progress we've made is because of all of people, men and women, that are working toward it. You know, my girls are very empowered, my teenage girls, and have high expectations, and that's because of the people around her, not just the women around her.
Well said. You mentioned teens, and you've had so many successes in your career and different positions I've talked about earlier in your bio. It dawned on me, and I'm probably guilty of this, when I interview somebody that's, let's say, successful, and at some point in the interview here, when you're talking to a guy, you'll say, my goodness, you've done all this and you're still a great father because you're able to get to events. If you talk to a lady that's also a mom, we almost rephrase the question like, boy, Robin, you were able to do this and you still raised girls, huh? You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do. And I recall early on in my career, you know, I have 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all within 7 years. And so there's a window of time that's a huge blur that I don't really remember. But during that time, I remember it was Halloween. And I was not taking the day off. I'm in communications. Right. There was something happening. A lot of reporters were calling. We were in the middle of a crisis situation at my office. And a few men had taken the afternoon off to go to Halloween parades at school. And it was the difference between how lovely it was that they were able to do this for their families and how sweet it was versus why would Robin think that if she just not committed, it's Halloween, it's a work day. That dichotomy was really alive and kicking in 2000, you know, and that's only 20 years ago, but the ability to even step out and not be at risk of being interpreted or perceived as not as committed is definitely a big thing. I mean, I remember telling my husband, to his surprise, that I did not have pictures of my children at my office, you know, in the early 2000s.
Wow.
I didn't want people to know I had four kids because nobody had four kids. Who had four kids?
Right. And still do what you right? do, the workload, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trade-off, right? I mean,
you're helping me feel better as a guilty interviewer. I appreciate that.
So you shouldn't. It takes everybody, right? I mean, all the progress we've made, I've had as many wonderful men bosses
mm-hmm.
as I've had women bosses. You know, everybody's contributed to the journey.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Halloween thing. When my one son was like first grade, and there was the opportunity, you volunteer in the lunchroom, and basically you show up one day a week, and you're helping them open up straws, you know, trying to put in the milk and that sort of thing. But I remember there were moms, and I was normally the only dad that showed up all week, and they made such a big deal, and I almost felt bad that, you know, there weren't more, but it was like a different expectation. So, okay, now, let me ask you this then. For that lady, that woman listening, who's hearing this conversation, shaking her head, maybe she's still embarrassed to put the kids' pictures on her desk. Give me some words of wisdom on this International Women's Day.
Well, sure. I would say that it's complicated, that we're all still in the middle of what's happening next, and so our jobs, everybody's journey's been different. Everyone has a different life experience almost by the decade. You know, how I was treated 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and today is all very different. And the generation coming up behind us is so empowered, and we should feel great. We've done that. You know, we've created a world where they can have these very different high expectations, but we're not done. So just know everyone's watching you. Your children are watching you. The girls are watching you, and the boys are watching you. And what you put out there and what you train and teach and share is really changing how it's moving forward. All of us are participating in that. So don't take it lightly and don't think we're done.
Today, WTAM and iHeartMedia are recognizing International Women's Day, a global day celebrating the social, economic, and political achievement of women.
Vaccinations, you were very kind to set up an interview with Dr. Robin Strohsaker over at UH.
Yeah, right? What a rock star getting us through this past year. And, you know, I would consider her to be an unsung hero. And I pitched the story because I really wanted people to know what was going on behind the scenes to get us through a pandemic.
Well, let's sing her praises right now.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
Doctor, in this pandemic, anytime I've had a chance to talk to someone in medicine, I got to ask you, if we can take a deep breath for a minute. You studied, this may be the history in pandemics, but practicing medicine, learning through this, it had professionally... It has to be fascinating time for you and anyone in medicine, isn't it?
It was a really, really fascinating year. This was very different than the way we've ever delivered healthcare before. You know, typically in healthcare, we study things and we test things and, you know, we make all our decisions based on very well thought out science. And typically in healthcare, we have any supply we could possibly need at the tip of our fingertips. This was really different in that we were really making the discoveries as we go. There was no science that told us exactly how to manage COVID, and we were doing it all in a time where we had supply shortages like we've never seen in U.S. healthcare.
Dr. Strohsaker, it's Macy here. Yeah, I heard the CEO at University Hospitals say it like this. You know, I mean, this was the worst of times, no doubt. But in some ways, it was University Hospitals' finest moment.
This was absolutely our finest moment. I mean, so I will tell you, for me personally, this has been one of the most challenging yet completely inspiring years of my career. I mean, you know, looking back, no doubt there have been times that we didn't really understand our best path forward. We didn't quite understand how it was going to all work. But never in my, you know, 20-year career in healthcare have I seen teams come together to take outstanding care of patients, to innovate, to be compassionate, to be caring, all sort of with that cornerstone of what's the right thing to do for our community. I mean, that team spirit, the way we've come together to provide care has just been completely inspiring.
Doctor, I want to ask you, you've got a passion for people, obviously, with your career, your study mm-hmm. with pediatrics, autism and things. But you also carry now an important title, a COO. I think I'm always interested in talking to successful people. At what point you kind of get to a why? You got to choose a road. Did you have to get to that point and still think about patience as well as management? How did you make a career choice when the opportunity came along? You see what I mean?
The career choice to move from clinical medicine into administration?
Yes.
Yeah, so I spent the first 10 years of my career primarily doing a lot of patient care, and I loved it. Yeah, I love pediatrics. I spent most of my time in the hospital setting with trying to figure out, you know, for kids who were very ill, why they were ill and how to turn them around and make them better. And it was really very fun. But after about a decade or so, you know, I was presented with some opportunities to move into leadership. And the thing about what I do now is rather than touching patients and families one at a time, you know, I've got the opportunity to impact our large swaths of patients, large swaths of employees, and really make a difference in our community. And so that was really the why behind all of this. And that why was never more important than this last year.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Dr. Streisacher, of course, we are celebrating International Women's Day. We are so glad to have you with us for this day. Can we talk about some of the fellow women at university hospitals who played some instrumental roles in moving this forward, the protocol when it comes to vaccinations, when it comes to treatments like remdesivir? Tell us what was happening behind the scenes.
Sure. I mean, if you look at the beginning of the pandemic and go forward, you know, at the very beginning of the pandemic, we had two major obstacles to overcome from a science standpoint, and one was definitely testing. And so I think it's important to remember that there wasn't a lot of testing. We didn't know the right way to test, and we were definitely building that plane while we were flying it. And I remember the early days of the pandemic, you know, having conversations with Dr. Christine Schmotzer in our pathology department and really saying, you know, what can we do? What do we know? What do we need to be able to really get testing out to our community? And she worked tirelessly with her team in clinical pathology to use the equipment we had, source different equipment, source different test reagents. Really, I mean, it was a lot of trial and error and trying to figure out how quickly we could scale up our testing. And her work was just truly amazing and really helped our community. I mean, we ramped up testing quickly because of her tireless efforts. And at the same time, Dr. Grace McComsey had really ramped up our research efforts, and we were very fortunate because she's such an accomplished researcher and had so many relationships. She was able to call drug companies. You know, we were site 001 for our remdesivir trial. You know, back at the very beginning when we did not know remdesivir was going to be as powerful a drug as it is. I mean, we had it and we were studying it, and even, you know, last April, looking at the how our patients were doing in our ICUs who were getting remdesivir compared to other institutions that didn't have it yet because it was all on study. We thought, wow, you know, our patients are doing better. There must be something about this. And so her ability to give us access to those clinical trials has just been huge. And then same with the vaccine trials. I mean, we had access to Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccine trials because of Dr. McComsey's great work. And all of those things, it helped advance science. It helped keep our community more healthy, and it, you know, helped us figure out how to get out of this pandemic.
Doctor, get you out of here on this. I feel like we're getting out of it, but yet you would probably want to tell me, Bill, that's great you feel that way, but we got to get out of it, so we got to keep it up. We got to keep masking. We got to keep washing the hand. And when you're offered the vaccine, take it, doctor?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think everybody's ready for this to be done. Me too. And there's certainly a lot of things to be hopeful for. I mean, the fact that we've got now three great vaccines, the fact that the vaccine supply is increasing, the fact that our case numbers, our hospitalization numbers, the ICU numbers, the deaths are decreasing, and those trends look really nice. I still think it's important to understand when you look at the number of cases per 100,000 residents in Ohio, it's still very high. And we've got a ways to go. But we've got some really great tools to help get us out of there. So my recommendation is please let's just keep wearing our masks for just a little bit longer. Keep social distancing for just a little bit longer. I think we all want to enjoy a post-pandemic world, and we're close, but we just need to keep doing the right things right now so we can get there faster.
Dr. Robin Strosshager, so kind with your time. CEO, University Hospitals, Cleveland Medical Center. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.
Five good minutes.
And she joins me now, Janice Dean, Fox and Friends. I mentioned all these struggles. You have put together a book, though, Make Your Own Sunshine, inspiring stories of people who find light in dark. So let me, in a way, in all this darkness, in putting these stories together, kind of therapeutic for you too and help you?
Oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how much I needed this book during the pandemic. I started writing it pre-pandemic, and then I did a lot of the interviews while we were in quarantine all last year. And as many of your listeners know, we lost both of my husband's parents during the pandemic, both to coronavirus. So to have these stories, writing these stories of kindness and spreading sunshine to others, really helped me during a dark time.
It's a great reminder, you know, people are generally good. Did you have to cut it at some point saying, okay, that's enough, I got enough stories?
I always have good news stories. I actually, on Fox News Radio, I do a daily Deems list, which is a good news story every day. So this was kind of an expansion on that. I could probably write volumes of these books, but I will tell you, you know, during the time where we were socially distancing, that's when I found the most good news stories. It was almost like people were trying their best to make sure that others were taken care of.
You know, you also track down, I mean, a tragedy that many of us lived through and watched. People in New York obviously experienced much more. 9/11, you revisited, I know, a firefighter was one of the stories I liked.
Yes, my husband is a firefighter, and we knew Ray Pfeiffer for, oh my gosh, over a decade. They worked together in one of the firehouses on 9/11, and both my husband and Ray Pfeiffer, who I talk about in the chapter, dug for months to find, you know, their dead brethren who unfortunately we lost during the World Trade Towers coming down on that fateful day. And Ray had 9/11 related illness. He had cancer, but during the last year of his life, he made sure that first responders would be taken care of by passing a bill, the Zadroga bill that now has his name on it, through Congress, so that other first responders that are diagnosed with 9/11 related cancers or illnesses will be taken care of, and so were their families. So even though we lost Ray, he continues to be a ray of light.
You know, as I went through this, I almost thought of I'm not sure what people do in their normal day as far as a meditation or a prayer or something. It was almost like read a chapter of this each morning and just kind of start your day with a great story. You know, Janice?
I love that, Bill, and I really think that this will help people. A daily chapter is wonderful. When I was doing the stories, I would walk with my sons around the block, like just to get some fresh air, and I would tell them about the stories I was working on. It will restore your faith in humanity.
Make Your Own Sunshine, inspiring stories of people who find light in dark times. She's tracked down some great stories and wonderful at telling them. Janice Dean, thank you for doing it. All the best.
Bill, thank you so much, my friend.
18, traffic and weather in a couple. Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire alongside. This is from Fox this morning. Our Lieutenant Governor John Husted over the weekend calling out members of the Cleveland Teachers Union, basically, look, you got in line for the shot first before so many others. Now you voted not to get back in the classroom. And Governor DeWine being critical as well. They're not alone in asking the teachers union, look, if I mean, CDC guidelines even specifically don't say you have to have a vaccine to get back in the classroom. And yet the Cleveland Teachers Union last week voting they don't want to go back yet.
They didn't want to go back after they had the vaccination. Brian Kilmeade, and also he'll be talking with Christina Parks, a mother of four in the Cleveland School District.
All right, take a listen here.
Look, it's time to go back and serve these children. They need you. The schools across the state, 99% of all the schools in Ohio are open for in-person education today. But the Cleveland School District, via their teachers union, is the last holdout. These kids need you. It's time to go back to work.
Christina, how hard has it been on you?
Very hard. Getting the kids up and in school and trying to work has been definitely a struggle.
What do you do?
I do data entry, and I also help at a factory putting stuff together, car tester parts.
So you have to leave the house and hope they have their laptops open?
Yep.
That's unbelievable. So you thought there was light at the end of the tunnel. March 1st, they got vaccinated. Lieutenant Governor, can you take legal action against them?
We can't take legal action against them. This is a local decision, but it's a violation of the agreement that we had. We prioritize teachers and educators across the state above other people who were more likely to get sick from the coronavirus and die because we wanted school districts to be open by March the 1st. It was a deal. We wrote it explicitly in the document that we had all the school districts sign to say, if you get the vaccine, if you get to jump to the front of the line, you need to go back by March 1. They signed the document, they went and got the vaccines, and now they're not going back for in-person education.
Here's what the union tries to explain to us. The members of the Cleveland Teachers Union are eager to come back to school and to the classroom to serve their students in person, but not until we can ensure a safe and orderly return. We need proven safeguards like personal protective equipment, distancing, and ventilation, but the district has failed to address our concerns and provide documentation that we have requested. Christina, is that a good enough explanation for you? Do you feel as though if your kids went back to school, they wouldn't be safe?
I believe that they would be safe. We got a phone call from Eric Gordon saying all that stuff was in place. So there's fighting amongst the inside between the teachers and Eric Gordon. We're being told two different things.
That's Brian Kilmeade, Fox, Lieutenant Governor Husted, and a mom with kids in the Cleveland school system upset that, again, the teachers union last Thursday voting not to get back. This was supposed to, well, last Monday was supposed to be the start of phase one, as Eric Gordon told us. They were putting it off a week, and now with the teachers union vote, it's not happening. Now, we hopefully will have the teachers union the head tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going
to give
it a
shot. We'll try to schedule that tomorrow. Maybe get hold of Eric Gordon as well, see if we can get see what plays out in the next 24 hours. The unions and the Cleveland School Administration says they're still talking back and forth, is the last I heard. So hopefully we'll get both sides tomorrow. You'll work on that.
Work on that, yes, sir.
Now you got something to do. 1100, complete Cavaliers coverage. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington Bank. If you need guidance on your money right now, talk to Huntington. And Tim Alcorn is in. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, Bill.
Let's talk about Joe. Great piece over the weekend, written by Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Posted, printed to in the Plain Dealer yesterday about the legend himself, Joe Tate, fighting some health issues in his early 80s. And he mentioned you because he's a big fan of your work.
Well, you know, he always offers some constructive criticism as well.
Give the score more.
So at 8:26 in a scoreless game, we'll talk about this.
Yes.
But no, Joe and I are just extraordinarily close. And that was a tremendous article by Terry. It really was. And, you know, it captured so much the essence of Joe Tate. It really did.
Yeah, well done. And I tell you, and you know this from working with Joe. Joe's a pro's pro. He would just as soon, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but see if you agree with this. He just as soon call a good high school basketball game on a Friday night than any other, or Mount Union. A good game Joe likes to talk about and do play-by-play for, right?
Absolutely. Joe did a lot of high school basketball games with me over the years, and he loved it. It was one of those things where he felt it recharged his batteries, to quote Joe. And you're right, especially if I brought him to a high school where it was an older high school and the gym was kind of a throwback gym, oh, we would sit on stages and in crow's nests, and he loved it. Absolutely had a ball.
Years ago at Strongsville, I'm at a game, and you guys were there doing the game. And I remember parents in the stands, Joe's up there. Joe's doing the game. I want to get a copy of this because Joe's calling my son out there on the basketball court right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, those kids would get such a huge thrill out of it. And, of course, you know, at the high school level, you don't see a lot of dunking going on.
Right.
And I remember Joe and I did a game together once, and a kid had a dunk, and Joe was calling it, wham, with the right hand. And the kid actually looked at Joe and kind of gave him a thumbs up.
That's great. Great.
As he ran down to the other end of the floor.
Great piece. Terry Pluto wrote it. Check it out. Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Terry, by the way, tomorrow morning, and Jim Jones. Let me get you out of here on this on the All-Star Game. Game last night. We've got the 2022 edition, the logo. We've got more at Wills Insider Facebook, willsinsider.com. What an exciting time next year when we get to host this thing yet again, Tim.
This is going to be awesome because next year is the 75th anniversary of the NBA. So I know there's a lot of special things that are in the works. It is going to be absolutely spectacular. And you mentioned having Jim Jones tomorrow, Bill. Jim kind of did the video for the Cavs to pump up the fact that Cleveland does have the All-Star game next year, and it's a great video. Jim did an awesome job.
Yes, he did. Wilson Center, Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. All right, Tim Alcorn. Tim, thanks, pal.
All righty. Thanks, Bill.
We'll talk to Jim this time tomorrow morning. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Thanks for being there. Joe Roman heads up our Greater Cleveland Partnership. Let's talk Cleveland schools for a couple minutes. A couple weeks ago, Eric Gordon, CEO with me, they've been putting off getting back in the classroom, was hoping to do it last Monday. They put it off a week. Last Thursday, the union for the teachers voting not to come back. Over the weekend, the governor has spoken about this. Lieutenant Governor Husted as well. The business community, Joe, I'm scratching my head. Why aren't the kids back in class?
Yeah, we are too, Bill, and I support the administration for their speaking out. You know, the Cleveland plan, which you and I have talked about for many years, which started about 10 years ago, was all about finally making the schools about the kids, not adults. And the taxpayers and the business community just this past November significantly increased taxes to support the Cleveland plan and to continue to support the advancement of the schools. But these kids need in-class learning. Of course we want the teachers and the students to be safe, but we're seeing that happen all around us in school systems throughout the region and the state. So we would really hope that the teachers' unions see that they are needed in the class and get back there so that these kids can get back to learning. Because even though we've also tried to support PCs for people and getting broadband, and we're making progress there. But at the end of the day, as you know, you learn when you're in front of a teacher the best, and we need that to happen.
There's no perfect environment, no perfect situation in a pandemic. But I would think in the year and a half they've been out of class, the work they have done, we've gotten as close as possible. CDC guidelines even say that, you know, a teacher doesn't necessarily have to be vaccinated. The other upsetting thing seems to be, from the governor and lieutenant governor, the union, many teachers went ahead of others and got a shot.
Yeah, and I heard them speaking about that today, and that's true. You and I are both waiting for ours. But the reality is, and again, we want everybody to be safe.
Sure.
But why is one school system different? We're seeing this happen all around the state and especially our own region. And again, people and business owners are hurting, but they're paying that increased tax to make the school system effective. And the teachers are a key part of that, and they were a key part of the Cleveland plan. They need to continue in that direction and get back to school.
We are told both sides continue to talk. I hope to have the head of the union as well as Eric Gordon join me tomorrow morning. Joe Roman, Greater Cleveland Great. Partnership. Thank you, Joe.
You bet. See you, Bill.
Great charity helps women called Dress for Success Cleveland. Heard about it? Well, let's find out more. Melanie Butler is the executive director.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
Melanie, first of all, I appreciate your time. I know you are busy at Dress for Success Cleveland. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the mission first for the organization Dress for Success Cleveland.
Absolutely. Dress for Success Cleveland, we are here to empower women to achieve economic independence. And we do that by providing them a network of support, professional clothes, and development tools to help them in both life and in work.
My goodness. So, it almost sounds like a partnership then, huh?
It is a partnership. It's a collaboration. It's a mentoring, more so, because it's holistic. And we are actually a nonprofit that is across the globe. We're in 28 countries, and we have about 153 affiliates among those 28 countries.
My goodness.
And so we've been around Cleveland for about, I think we're in our 23rd year. We started in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
We became incorporated. And then Ricky Weiss was our founder, and so we've grown from there. But Dress for Success Worldwide started in New York, and they started in 1997.
Molly, can you, in the years or the time that the organization has been around, have the challenges changed? I mean, culture has changed. Can you address that a little bit?
Absolutely. COVID has changed a lot for everybody, I'm sure, but definitely for Dress for Success, because we thrived on the very thing that we cannot do now, and that's the bigger the better as far as gatherings, whether that was for services or for fundraising. And so without that platform, we've definitely had a huge shift in what we do and how we do it. And so we are transitioning or have transitioned to virtual services, which presents challenges because not all women have access to technology.
Sure.
And our offices used to be, we have a career center and computers that women came to use to have that access to technology. And so, and before COVID, we realized only 40% of our women had access to technology in their homes convenient to them. 60% had to go outside of their home and travel somewhere to access technology. And today, without technology, you can't find a job.
Well said.
You can't, you know, so there is a definitely a gap in the need and how we are providing the need right now. But we're working towards it. I think we're kind of turning the corner right now. When we first transitioned, it was getting people to engage and be engaged the same way as they were in person is also another challenge. And so we've been learning, and us too, we've been learning different techniques and different, you know, from Zoom and mm-hmm. webinars and the difference between a Zoom meeting and a webinar presentation, how to do some things to engage people more fun and more interesting as we did when they were in person. So there's been some challenges, but we have made it through. And because of our global connection and network, we have definitely garnered off of each other and shared best practices. And our worldwide was the first offices to be able to make that virtual transition and supply all of the affiliates with programming until we each were able to establish our own. So that bridge kept us going.
Melanie Butler is the executive director for Dress for Success on this International Women's Day. I want to spend some time on the mission, the work they do. So thank you for your time. Let me get you out of here on this, but it's the most important question then for someone listening. Mm-hmm. What do you need? How can people help Dress for Cleveland?
Right now, you know, a lot of times most people think of Dress for Success about clothing. And right now we need critical needs more than clothing. Things like bus tickets, gas cards, food cards. There are a lot of disparities that are that keep women from getting employed that are beyond clothing today until we get through this economic recovery. So we're asking you, yes, we still are taking clothing, but not as frequently because we all too also went through a reduction, so we're a staff of two.
Mm-hmm.
But how people can help us right now through the month of March is we have a campaign called Your Hour, Her Power. Your Hour, Her Power is asking everyone to give 1 hour of your pay to make a difference. When women see possibilities, they become powerful beyond measure. And so we're asking you to help us help women see their possibility.
Well said. We'll put up a link for Dress for Success Cleveland as well. Melanie Butler is the executive director. You're very, very kind with your time. Thank you for all that you and so many at your organization do, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Well, Bill, thank you for your time, and thank you, Cleveland community, for their support.
This is Serena Wills, encouraging you to celebrate International Women's Day. Find a way to celebrate the women who impact your life today. After all, you wouldn't be here if it weren't for a woman.
For the record, I let her have the last word, okay? Thank you. Proud of you.